Hello, do you have you with us, Max?
I'm with you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Beautiful day.
So, I watched your movie. Very impressed. Your same high-quality production that you have for pretty much all your videos. There's nothing that I can really argue with in anything that you said in that. Why don't you just talk to people a little bit about that?
Okay, well, the film, like, basically what it was about was the first part of the film, I just wanted people to ask questions, just kind of question their reality a little bit, because, you know, I think that's where the enlightenment lies. It's not in even discovering the answers to the questions. It's realizing that the questions exist. And that's what I tried to do with the start, and just to let people understand how they've been kind of brainwashed into thinking reality is what we're told it is, when really it isn't. And section two was the transhuman section, which basically outlined where they'd like to take us. Part three basically showed how they intend to do it, and in fact they're doing it right now. And it's well underway. The whole transhuman plan is well underway. And part four was more focused on solutions. I think you've got to be aware the problem exists in order to even find the solution. And I believe the solution lies in community. I mean, as I've said in all of my films and all my radio shows, I think that's the biggest hurdle that we have to overcome is community. We have to put common unity back in community. Everything about this society has been designed to divide us from each other. And while we remain divided, we simply don't have the strength of numbers. We don't have the collective awareness to be able to deal with the problem. And I think we can deal with it all peacefully. I think forgiveness is the key. I don't really want to prosecute or hurt anybody. I don't care what people have done in the past. I don't care about all the misgivings of these tyrants that run the world. I basically want them to come home. I don't want to hurt them. I just want humanity to be free. And I think that if we can all surrender to each other and put forgiveness into the equation and just move forward, we can change everything. And I know that's really hard for people. A lot of people are very angry at what's been done, and rightfully so. I get very angry as well. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I wouldn't be able to make the radio shows and make the films. But I can be angry and channel that anger into positive action rather than into violent aggression or retribution or anything like that. I don't think that's needed. So that's what I was trying to do with the film anyway, was just sort of outline the bigger picture for people. Because when you really start looking at it, if you step back and look at the whole thing holistically, you know, look at the GM food and the vaccinations and the chemtrails and the electromagnetic radiation we're all being subject to and all of this stuff. And if you look at some of my earlier films, such as The Awakening, where I talk about the energetic nature of the universe, you can see how all this is going on. And some of the things I said in the film were to do with nanotechnology. They were about how we can be influenced electromagnetically. And it makes sense that you could put nanoparticulates into people and you could affect them electromagnetically. Now, recently there was a meeting between Australian scientists and US military. This was, I think it was about in April sometime. And US researchers and Australian scientists met in Washington to look at ways of sharing nanotechnology research amongst themselves for military and civilian purposes. So you look at that, take that into account. You look at recent studies that have been done that show scientists can actually switch mouse genes on and off with radio waves by using nanoparticulates. What they do is they inject antibodies into the mice that are modified with a nanoparticulate, and it interacts with stuff known as TRPV1, which is a temperature-sensitive ion channel which sits on the surface of cells. So they inject these particles into tumors and stuff, and these things sit on the surface of the cells, and then they use miniature magnetic resonance imaging machines to heat the nanoparticles and switch the genes of the mice. So they're showing that they can do this. They're doing experiments right now with electromagnetism and nanoparticulates to switch genes on and off in mice. They say, oh yes, we're doing it in order to cure tumors and to cure cancers and all this sorts of stuff, which are all curable anyway. I mean, if it wasn't for the FDA, we probably wouldn't even have half of the diseases we've got. So that's not why they're doing it. You look at all of this and you put it all together, and it all points towards transhumanism, and the program's well underway. And we can fix it. We can still reclaim our power, but we have to know what the problem is in order to address it. So that's what I tried to do in the film.
Yeah, I think you did a good job. I mean, all the information is out there. You just got to dig a little bit. You know?
Well, it is. That's like, the thing. It's all there in the public domain if people just want to look. It's right in front of their faces if they just take the time to look what's going on around them and read the reports. Read these things like what they're doing with mouse genes and stuff and just put it all together. Put it all together on a bigger picture, and this is what you come up with, transhumanism. And they even tell you what they're doing. Films like Transcendent Man, they tell you straight out, this is what we want to do. We want to infest everything or impregnate or put into everything these nanoparticulates. You know, nanobots will soon be in everything, in all the rocks and the trees and the plants, and then we want to send swarms of them out into the universe to harness, in inverted commas, other intelligences to improve our own. This is the Borg. This is the assimilation of the universe turned into a nanomachine. I mean, I can't even comprehend the mind of someone who would consider sending nanoparticulates infused with artificial intelligence out into the universe to basically take over any life forms and any objects and anything they find. This is complete madness, but that's the plan, and they tell you straight out that's what they want to do.
Yeah, and you know, some of the things that they're releasing is they're releasing like the what causes more gallons. You know, they're releasing these particulates and these little nano replicators and nanobots and whatever. And, you know, they, if you release a nano replication device that just replicates itself over and over and over and over and over, if you don't put in the right code, it's never going to stop. You know, and that's the problem is you're putting out, you know, billions of these things. Eventually these codes are going to not work. In a couple of them, and then it's a couple of hundred, and then it's a couple thousand, then it's a couple million, then it's a couple billion. It's just a scary situation. And, you know, I can remember 15 years ago reading an article where they took slices of brain material and wired a microchip and relayed a signal between the one side of the brain material to the other side of the brain material through the microchip.
Mm. Yeah, well, they're growing brains on circuit boards as well. They can grow brain cells on circuit boards. Some of the things that I was showing in the film. I mean, this is what they're doing. It's merging man with machine, and it's very, very active, and this is where everything's leading. See, human consciousness is evolving, but they wish to control that evolution because they want to make it controllable so they can control it. They don't want humankind to be all that they can be. And they figure that it's their right to do this because most of humankind don't even bother to use their brains. Most of what we call, you know, the intelligent species on this planet, the human race, simply don't respect their own intelligence. They don't think, and they are prepared to do whatever they are told to do. They're prepared to allow themselves to be controlled by others. And so they think, well, if the majority of people are too lazy to even use the intellect that God provided for them, then it's our prerogative to control these people, and they deserve it. And because they act in this way, then it's only fitting that we should transfer the wealth of the uneducated and unintelligent many into the hands of the intellectual and deserving few who are prepared to use their brains. And that's the way they think about it. And they really look at the human race as some kind of an ant farm. They don't have any empathy at all towards the people inside it because they feel that they're irresponsible. They really do. And it's like I said, they feel that they should shift the natural energy, the wealth of the planet, out of the hands of the undisciplined and irresponsible many and into the hands of the self-disciplined and responsible and very worthy few. That's the way they think. And you've really got to step back and look at it this way and see what's going on here. And they think, well, look, if the people are stupid enough to look around and not even notice all this, I mean, these people are going to argue over chemtrails, whether chemtrails are real. And there they are right there in the sky. They're not even prepared to face that. So who cares what we do to them? They obviously don't deserve it because they're just not even prepared to use their brains. So good on us. That's just the way they think.
I just had a perfect description of what it was, and now my mind went blank. But yeah, it's like you said, it's, you know, it's the Borg. You know, it's brainwashing for the lowest common denominator. You know, and if we don't make the choice to become aware of our surroundings and interact intelligently, then we just gave it up. It's a technological version of eugenics.
Well, it is. It's very much like that. I mean, eugenics is eugenics. How would they carry out something like eugenics? Well, this is how you do it. You know, biologically, genetically, this is what they do. And what's the best way to control genes? Well, nanoparticulates. I mean, let's go in there. We can modify people's very genetic structure with nanoparticulates, form nanoarrays over their DNA. We can transcode the very DNA of the species. And that's what they're doing. That's what they're working towards. And this has been going on for a long time. I mean, this started way back in the 40s. They started putting these sorts of plans in place. I mean, everything. You can find these documents go way back. You'll find that Albert Pike even talked about stuff like, you know, this sort of thing, controlling. I mean, he didn't talk about nanotechnology, but they've been talking about controlling the human race for a very, very long time. And it's just been going forward in an exponential curve. Things that they didn't even dream of 50 or 60 years ago, they're now being able to do because of the advances in technology, because technology advances exponentially. And so does this system. Right. And even Aldous Huxley, when you see what's being implemented, it's very much like Brave New World, only it's like Brave New World on steroids. It's 10 times worse than Brave New World. And Aldous Huxley, before he died, he said, having seen the advances in our society that he's seen in the last 50 years since he wrote the book, he would not have put the book 400 years in the future. And he said the book only scratches the surface of what these people have in mind. So even Aldous Huxley said this.
Well, didn't he write a new book another one called Brave New World Revisited?
Something like that, yeah, or Beyond Brave New World or something like that. I've been trying to get hold of it. I only found out about it recently, so I would like to get hold of that. A friend of mine's got it, I believe.
Yeah, that's another one. I'd love to get a hold of it. I only heard about that about a year ago.
Yeah, a book I've been trying to get hold of actually is a book called The Golden Reed by Delima DeVeris. There's been all sorts of stuff which has been leading me towards Delima DeVeris in the last couple of weeks. It's been a really bizarre kind of a rabbit hole that I've been sent down without even sort of planning it. So anybody out there who might be listening to the show, if you have a copy of The Golden Reed by Delima DeVeris or know where I could get one, that would be great. Just contact me through the website and I'll give you a mailing address. I thought I'd put that out there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I hope someone gets it for you. I can still remember back in the day that I used to go to this little bookstore in Tucson, Arizona, when I lived out there, and it was called the Mad Hatter Bookstore, and he had The Morning of the Magicians in hardcover. He had the one by about Chartres Cathedral and all the sacred architecture, just phenomenal selection of books. And yeah, I was broke. I never had any money, but I did manage to get a Masonic Bible from the 1930s, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, very interesting. There's a lot of knowledge to be gleaned in old books, even in the symbolism that they put there. But this book by Delima DeVeris, it's just weird. Delima DeVeris wasn't even a real character. It was a fictitious name made up by a guy called, I believe his name was Earl Aloysius Roberts. And he ran a newspaper that started off, I think, in Missouri and ended up moving to Arkansas. It was called the American Sunbeam. It started off as the Seligman Sunbeam. It was a conspiracy newspaper that was published way back around 1984, 1986 or something like that. He wrote a book under the name of Delima DeVeris. He claimed he was channeling this entity called Delima DeVeris. It's all very bizarre. Interestingly, there's a snake called the American Sunbeam Delima DeVeris, which is very strange because his newspaper was called the American Sunbeam and his name was Delima DeVeris. So the whole thing, I've had all this information come to me because I used a quote on the show back in 2009. I used the Delima DeVeris quote, which is an absolutely brilliant quote. And because of that, I've had people contact me and all this sort of stuff. Then I get sent this book the other day, and the preface to this book is by Delima DeVeris, and all sorts of things have been, it's been playing on my mind. I thought, well, there's something in this book that I need to see, so I've got to get hold of this book. Very, very interesting the way my life works, all this series of synchronicities.
Well, yeah, and that's the way you can tell you're in the flow, because the things just come to you, and as you need them, they're there, and as you don't need them, they're not there.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable. Actually, someone sent me an interview of a person, actually the moderator of my forum, a guy called Jimmy, wonderful moderator, good work that you do, Jimmy. He sent me an interview with a guy called Boris, and it was talking about trust law and what is lawful and what is legal and how forgiveness is the key and all this sort of stuff. Golden material, beautiful stuff. And he mentioned a book on that radio interview. So I quickly downloaded this book. It was a 41-page book, just a paper. And that was where the quote by Delamere de Veres was. So it's all very, very bizarre. And that just kind of got sent to me out of the blue. You know, so it's quite amazing how it's all been tied together, and this name just keeps cropping up. And it's not anyone that I've ever heard of, and it's not even a real name. It's a fictitious name, and very obscure. It's very hard to find out anything about the man. There's one review written about him by a guy who's Jewish, and apparently he used to be quite outspoken about Zionism, and so this article claims that he's an anti-Semite, so that's kind of interesting in itself, I suppose. But it'd be very interesting to see what he was saying. So it's just amazing how it's all been cropping up.
Hmm.
Anyway, a bit off topic, but yeah, it's just been amazing. It's been this fascinating thing that every couple of days now in my life, this name keeps coming up. So I've got to get the book, you know. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I've had things like that happen too. But Turtle was wondering, and I don't know why she just doesn't speak up and ask, but she was wondering what's your thoughts on the alignment with the eclipse being today and everything else that's happening.
Well, it's quite amazing, the whole eclipse thing. I mean, as I said, I didn't see it here, but it's interesting. There's something also going on with Venus at the moment. I had a friend of mine tell me about it yesterday, but I was kind of in the clouds when he told me, so I can't remember what it was. But there's something to do with this eclipse and something to do with Venus. And this happens to be the very event that happened about 260-something years ago when Captain Cook came to Australia. The first thing Captain Cook did when he came to Australia was land at a place called Agnes Waters, town of 1770 it's called, and he had to go to a place there out at a point known as the Doorway of Destiny, which many psychics have believed is a portal, and he was to sit at that point and track the movements of Venus for 3 days. And it was this very same event that's going on astrologically now. So it's amazing that it's happening. It's amazing that we're living through it. It's amazing it's in 2012. And these events are very significant, and the elite use these events all the time. They time all sorts of things on these events, and they're very, very concerned and very focused on these events. So there's obviously importance to them. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't have sent a ship across the world to Australia to track the movements of this back in 1770. So, and that's the last time all of this whole thing happened. The fact that this is a 6-hour eclipse, you know, none of this normally happens the way it does with Venus and all this sort of stuff. So it's a very significant event. I'm not quite sure what the significance is. You'd probably have to talk to someone like Santos Bonacci, who might be able to tell you about that. He's very into, astrological things, and He sort of has developed quite a good method of tracking, you know, what the elite are doing with all of these rituals that they do. It's good because he's been able to combine a lot of research from other people. I mean, a lot of his research isn't his. It's from other people, Franco Collins, myself, all sorts of people. But he's put it together into this very, nice gelled together manner. And because he understands astrology, he's able to basically show you what rituals they're doing and what they mean. So I'll have to talk to him about it.
Yeah, Santos is awesome, for sure. Let me see. I was going to mention, no, I just forgot.
Okay.
Having one of those nights. So, Turtle, do you have a question for Max here?
Well, I've been sitting and listening, and I'm not familiar, sorry, Max, with your book, but I will become familiar with it. But as far as your YouTube channel, I subscribe to you and such, And a lot of what you talk about in the way of energies and in the way of frequencies and how we are, we can be emotionally charged, you know, or manipulate in a way by these frequencies, by these energies. Do you feel that this alignment that we are dealing with the Pleiades, the sun, Venus, the moon, you know, and the eclipse and all of this, do you think that this is in any way changing the frequencies that are bombarding the earth, you know? Are we being affected physically, mentally, emotionally? Do you feel we are?
Yeah, absolutely, I do. Absolutely. I feel quite different today, actually. And the energies have been changing very much lately. And you've seen a huge escalation in the stuff that the powers that be are doing as well. Just here in Byron Bay, we've had a huge mobile phone tower put up right in the center of town, a huge microwave tower. And to improve our mobile phone reception, of course, even though we didn't have any bad mobile phone reception, it was all good to begin with. And yeah, absolutely. The energies are changing. The energies have been changing very, very rapidly this year. And it's an energetic universe. Everything is made of energy. There is no matter. It's all energy. It's all energy and perception. And we communicate energetically with reality all the time as well. This is why things like this book that I'm being led to, this Delamitiverse book, I'm just being energetically led there by the universe. I don't know why. And your whole life actually works this way. You get opportunities all the time energetically. But many of us just fail to read them. They just think, oh, that's a coincidence, or this is a coincidence, or that's just nothing. You know, they don't read what's really going on around them all the time. But yeah, I think the energies are definitely changing, and I can actually physically feel it. I mean, it's tangible to me. And it'd be very, very interesting to see where we're going this year with the Olympics and all this sort of stuff about to happen. And very, very interesting times.
Yeah, and I've also seen a lot of changes, you know, as well as I, that ever since, especially the bombing on 9/11, that the whole country, the whole world actually has been dealing with a very, very chaotic type of propaganda that's, you know, they're promoting fear, they're promoting anger, they're promoting division, they're doing all these things. That's one way of manipulating the masses. But do you also believe that, like with the use of HAARP and other technologies in that manner, like you said, they're putting up that cell tower right near your house, but there was really no need for it. Perhaps they are using that along with the energies that we are now getting from the universe. Maybe they are in some way amping that up, some way using it, piggybacking off of it, so to speak, to keep us in this state of confusion and chaos. But lately, I do have to say that I have seen definite changes for the better, even through all chaos, you know. But I do believe that they are using HAARP and other frequency weapons to bombard us and to keep us in this state, to keep us from changing the frequency to a higher frequency, a higher vibration.
Well, yeah, and they can use it to control society as well. Like, since they put the mobile phone station up in town, since they put the big tower there, The kids at night after the nightclubs have been a lot more aggressive, been a lot more fights in town, all this sort of stuff. So it absolutely affects people's moods. They do it in order to just piggyback the system off it. You know, like, we need cameras, we need more police because things are getting violent. Not that we're creating the violence. You know, we created the nightclubs and we allowed people to go there and drink massive amounts of alcohol late at night. I mean, alcohol kills hundreds of thousands of people around the world every year. It's a very, very toxic drug. But we allow all this sort of stuff, and we know it makes people violent, and we affect the radio signal around them to make them violent, to put moods into them, to keep people stressed. So they want people to have mobile phones. They want people to have digital clocks. They want people to be surrounded by this electromagnetic soup. Put smart meters everywhere, all this stuff. And think about it. With the the studies that have just been done on mice that show that they can simply, they can change the genes, switch genes on and off. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's affecting you on a physical level using nanotechnology and radio waves. That's what they're doing to mice. So what can they do on an emotional level? And all these things are all interconnected. And you could be absolutely right. They could very well be piggybacking off the power of the universe and the certain magnetic alignments and electromagnetic alignments that happen because of these planetary bodies doing what they're doing. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense that they would do that. See, they have all the ancient knowledge. Most of these things are in Vatican libraries and stuff. The ancient knowledge of what the pyramids are really for and all of the ancient cultures, they went out and they took all of that. And they destroyed all the ancient cultures, but they took their information and they kept it and secreted it for themselves. And it's all sequestered in these vaults under the Vatican and stuff. All roads lead to Rome. This whole energetic system that's being run goes back to the Vatican. It's quite phenomenal. It's quite a phenomenal system. But all the Vatican system is all designed on ancient science. It's all designed on the science of the ancients. These cultures that existed way, way back, the Sumerian cultures and the Babylonian and Egyptian cultures that built the pyramids and all this stuff, these guys operated energetically. They had a science and a religion that was combined into one thing, and it was a way of life, more than a science or a religion. And they still have that knowledge, and they use that to control society. And they've been putting this grid in place, this silent weaponry in place, for the last 40 or 50 years. It's been going on since at least 50 or 60 years ago, since World War II. They tested a lot of it in World War II. But it's like a silent control grid that's been put in place that people don't know is there. And it's a silent war that's been conducted against humankind. And it's almost imperceptible to most people because they don't think that way. Because they're kept uneducated, they're kept... So that, you know, poor people who aren't of the elite bloodlines are put through a very, very indoctrinating education system. They're not educated. They are taught that society functions in a certain way, and they're not given the tools they need to awaken higher cognitive functions. Even the language. The language is designed to limit people's understanding of reality, and people are given a very left-brain education, so they only think in language. So they're... understanding of reality is based on their understanding of the language, and the language has had so many words taken out of it that people can't get a good understanding of reality anymore, not through using English. And this is why English has been promoted as the main language around the world. Words such as Dharma. You could write a whole book in English to explain what Dharma actually means to people, but if you're speaking Hindi, you've just got to say Dharma, and they know exactly what you mean. It's a completely different understanding of reality contained within one word. And we've had all of these words removed from our language. English is a very, very mechanical language, and it limits people's understanding of reality. So it's very, very difficult for average people to even grasp these concepts because they don't have the intellectual aptitude to be able to do it because they've never been provided with the information to have that aptitude. I'm not saying people are stupid. I'm just saying that people are trained to have a certain understanding of reality, and that's what the education system's for. It's not to educate people. It's to indoctrinate them into a certain way of thinking. And that's what it does. And that's why they've gone out and they've destroyed all of the ancient knowledge and they've changed history. The first thing they did when they went in and bombed Iraq was destroy the museum, destroy the library, destroy everything that was there that spoke about the past, because that was where Earth's true history was. I believe that's one of the main reasons they even went into Iraq, was to destroy that information. It's very insidious, but... It's something that can be overcome if people simply become aware that this problem exists. So people have to change their perspective of reality. That's what I tried to do in the films. That's what I've tried to do in all the films and all the radio shows. That's really what it's been about, just to try to get people to change their perspective of how reality works.
Well, Max, let me ask you this. You were talking about how they have through generations upon generations use these tools of manipulation with the language. They've also used religion. They've also used the prophecy. They've used every avenue to corrupt and manipulate and to plant their little seeds, so to speak. And knowing this, knowing that throughout the ages, they have had the technology, they have had the ability and the knowledge, which means that, to me, it's been passed on to them. These sites, like you say, like in Iraq and all, where are some of the oldest areas of civilization, holding some of the oldest records and such. I don't know how I would think, you know, I would think that they would have long ago taken anything of interest out, and that we are more in the dark about our history, and perhaps the history that we have been shown is skewed and is erroneous. And like religion and the doctrines and the prophecies, they all say the same thing. How are we to know that all of these things leading up to this quote, end of the world, Mayan prophecy kind of thing, how are we to know that this is actual? How are we to know that it's not being engineered and that this is just another ploy? I mean, how do we discern the truth from or discern the real reality from what we have been given? I mean, saying that knowing that we have been manipulated in all these areas, how can we say we know the truth at all?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And anybody who says they do know the truth, I'd be very wary of. And I can only go by what my intuition tells me and what I'm able to discover on my own, by my observations of reality. And then I'm able to offer my perspective. And that's all I ever try to do. But prophecy is very, it's very easy to manipulate people through prophecy, because prophecy very often lulls people into a state of inaction, where people believe they don't have to address anything that exists around them in reality, because something's going to happen and reality is going to change. Now, I don't have to do anything to address the New World Order. I don't have to do anything to address the encroaching police state or stand up for my rights or anything, because the world's going to end in December, according to the Mayan calendar. Well, the Mayan calendar doesn't say this, but this is the way it's been interpreted by some people. If it isn't going to end, then it's going to change. We're all going to ascend to fifth dimension. All this stuff's going to happen, and I don't need to do anything about the state that I find myself in, about the world that I find myself in, because it's all going to change. That's what a lot of prophecy does. And you've got a lot of people coming out now saying, well, look, there's going to be mass arrests. There's going to be all this stuff. You don't have to do anything. Don't rock the boat. It's all good. All these things are going to happen. The elite are going to be arrested. What's that going to do? What is that going to do? What's it going to put a military coup across the planet or something? I mean, how is that going to affect anything? You know, there is no way through this, through arresting people, through having wars, through any of the things that are being provided to people as prophecy and as ways out. The only way through it all is through personal empowerment, through people to begin to see the people around them as valid and to realize that the system that we're facing is fiction. You've got to take self-responsibility and realize that it's like I said before, they believe that the majority of people in the world are too stupid to look after themselves, and so they deserve what they get. So start looking after yourself. Start being empowered, knowing what you are, knowing that you are man. Even under their law, I've spoken about this on so many shows, even under their law, God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. Everything we created, society, law, all this stuff, comes below that. And if you are a sovereign being under God, whatever you perceive God to be, then why do you need any of this stuff? Why can't you be responsible for yourself? Why can't you live your life to do no harm and respect others for being a valid perspective of reality, the same as you, because they are. It takes everybody to make up a world. It takes everybody to gain that collective perspective. And so everybody is just as good and just as powerful and just as equal to everybody else. There are no leaders, and there's no one to attack. There's no one to hate. There's no one to blame for anything that's happened. What matters is what we do from this point. What matters is our self-empowerment. What matters is what we choose to do from this moment forward. What matters is whether we choose to forgive people or whether we choose to attack them and replace them with ourselves. Because that's what a lot of this retribution stuff is. You know, I hate what you did to me, and yet I'm prepared to do that to you and to have those around you who weren't even involved, like your mother and all the people who suffered because of your actions. I'm prepared to make them suffer due to my retaliation against you because of my judgment for what you did. When you only did that because you disconnected from reality anyway, so I don't care. I forgive you. I absolutely forgive everybody. Let's just move forward from that point. Until human race is prepared to do that, we won't get anywhere. Now, it doesn't matter about arresting people. Well, you're arresting people. Look, okay, they all did the wrong thing. We'll arrest them, and now we'll put these guys up there. Now you look after us because I'm not prepared to look after myself. That's the problem, you see. And we've got to get this spiritual evolution happening within ourselves and realize that everything that we are facing is a reflection of what is in ourselves, and we need to change that perspective, change our perspective of reality, and that is how we change the world, simply by changing our perspective of reality and by changing our perspective of what we are and what everybody else is. You know, it's really that simple. It's a big step, but ultimately, it's a very simple step. We just have to be prepared to take it. It's right there. It's being offered to us. The worse the world gets, the more this is being offered to us. And we have to embrace it and move forward from that perspective, or we're going to lose what we've got. And you know, now's the time we need to do it. And that's what I think 2012 is all about. I think 2012, as far as the elite goes, is the timetable. That's about how long it was going to take for them to put their system in place. And by the look of the way it's escalating, that's what it's looking like. But what I'm seeing is the more they're escalating their system, the more people are waking up to it, because fascism is in your face eventually. It becomes so in your face that you can't not see it, and there's the opportunity you need to effect change. All we have to do is realize the system is fiction and step away from it. We don't have to fight it at all. Step away from it and it will crumble like a house of cards, because that's all it is. And I forgive the people that have done this. You know, I really do. I think we owe it to ourselves not to hate these people. Now, because ultimately they're part of the collective consciousness too. And we need to move forward as one entity and one singularity of consciousness in ourselves while still maintaining our individual perspective. But we're only going to do that if we begin to see each other as valid. So that's my solution to it all anyway.
The only problem I have with the elites and just letting them go is that if they don't have some kind of consequences for their actions, they're just going to keep doing them and keep harming more people. So, you know, I don't necessarily need to see them hung or sitting in jail or anything like that, but I think exile would be a good idea. You know, they have technology that they can leave the planet. So go. Just leave. Let us have the planet. We'll fix it. And, you know, as far as where to start, you've got to start with yourself. You've got to start inside and say, okay, look, I know the system is screwed. How do I do, you know, my part to fix it? And, you know, a lot of it is simply just saying, you know, I'm not going to consent to it. I'm not going to agree. I'm not going to go along. I'm not going to go with the flow.
Well, yeah, you've got to understand the system's fiction, you know, and if people became aware of the actions of the elite and the way the system works, these people would be exiled even within society. They'd be looked upon as the poor old guy who was so disconnected from reality that he murdered all those people and did all those terrible things. How sorry must you feel for this person? You know, because how disconnected would you have to be to do what these people have done? And I forgive them. I forgive them. They're so disconnected that they, you know, I don't hold any animosity towards them at all. I pity them. I really do. And I still love them because they are part of me. They're part of the human race. They're part of the overall consciousness of the universe. And to me, I'm connected to it all. So I don't want them to be exiled and go off into space. I want them to come home. I want them to become part of the positive human consciousness that we could be, you know, and like I said, you wouldn't have to exile, you wouldn't have to do anything to them, because just the fact that everybody knew what these people had done would cause them to be exiled within themselves until they chose to grow. And that's what they need to choose to do. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm weird, but I don't harbor any feelings of revenge towards anybody for any wrongs that have ever been done me, or for any wrongs that have ever been done to anybody else. I believe that what we face in society is really a reflection of what's in our hearts, and it's in a reflection of our failure to deal with things in the correct way. We're always waiting to be saved. And even people who are giving out good spiritual messages to people are still telling these people to wait to be saved. You're going to ascend. This is going to happen. There's going to be mass arrest. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. Disclosure, whatever, you know. There's all this stuff going on that's going to save you. You don't have to do anything. But you do have to do something. You have to change your perspective of reality. You have to realize that every single person in this world is valid. It doesn't matter what they did. It really doesn't matter. See, we have this inbuilt need, and we're trained to have this through the education system. We have this inbuilt need to seek retribution against people who we believe have wronged us. But very often we've allowed these people to wrong us through our failure to understand how reality works. You can't blame people for failing, though, because they've been trained to fail by these people. You know, it's a very twisted dichotomy. And I can understand people's lust for revenge, but I don't think it solves anything. I think that it goes beyond that. I really think it goes to a point where we realize that every single person is valid, regardless of what has happened in the past. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we do from this point forward. I really believe this.
Well, I think the first step is definitely to heal the mind and heal the body. But then when we do and we finally are where we need to be, as far as knowing the self and knowing our connection and where we fit in this cosmic hoop, you know, of life, then we have the issue of the planet and what has been done and is being done, the current geological changes that are occurring, the catastrophes that have been dealt in the last several years, the BP oil disaster, the tsunamis, the earthquake in Fukushima, which is ongoing now and is the worst disaster to ever befall mankind by his own hands. How do we go about changing that? Say we bring everyone together and everyone's on the same page, and we figure out that the corruption and the lies and the secrets and backdoor deals, all of this is bad, and we know that we want to get back to the pure parts of life, of living, of who we are and of what we are, to move in a technological way, but a responsible way into the future. How do we deal with the issues that we're having to deal with right now with Fukushima, which there are no answers to? We don't have an answer to that. What do you see that we can accomplish in order to get control of what is happening to the planet and try to heal the planet itself? Do you have any ideas or information on that?
Well, I think it all comes back to understanding how the universe operates energetically and how Earth operates energetically. See, it's all a reflection of what's in our hearts. I believe Fukushima even is a reflection of what's in our hearts. And Fukushima is truly the elephant in the living room. It's the most serious problem we've ever faced. And like you say, there is no way to deal with it. And it's like we're being told, so the universe is telling us that we better connect and we better change our harmonic resonance and change our vibration and fix this issue, or we're not going to make it through, you know. And perhaps there's people that don't want us to make it through. Perhaps there's people that did that purposely because it all ties in with the transhumanist agenda. Yeah, because things don't sometimes die. If controlled the right way, radiation will simply make things mutate. It won't kill everything. It doesn't kill trees. It doesn't kill plants. It seems to kill mammals and fish and stuff like this, but it does not kill everything. So there's a bigger picture going on here. But I think that the universe is energetic, and the universe is a result of our perception of the universe. And Fukushima is basically, like I said, the universe giving us an ultimatum. We need to connect with each other. We need to suddenly see each other as valid and realize that we do face a common threat. They're saying, oh, alien invasion would be a common threat. Well, what about Fukushima? Fukushima is a common threat. This threatens all life on Earth, everything on this planet, not just all human life, but all life on Earth. And this is the opportunity we need to come together. So let's come together because, I mean, I think we could change it by changing our harmonic resonance, to be honest, if that's too big a call for people to place any faith in. Then perhaps we could change it by uniting our human consciousness and collectively focusing on this problem until we do come up with a solution. But while we remain divided, it's not going to happen. While we see the Japanese people as being separate to ourselves because of something that happened in World War II, which was completely contrived by big banking corporations. I mean, so we're blaming these people still. Well, no, it wasn't them. It was the banksters for a start. Every war that's been in the last 200 years, which has served to divide society, was concocted by the same banksters. So forget all of that. Forget the division that we have with other races, other skin colors, other religions, all of this stuff that's been put there to divide us, and realize that we are all valid and we are all here on this little rock floating through space. What happens on this rock is a direct result of what is in our hearts. So it's time we change what's in our hearts. That's what we're being presented with here. Because as I said, if we don't do it, we probably won't make it through because it's a very, very serious issue. And if we don't make it through, well, hey, that's okay. Life will go on. Life in the universe will go on. Humankind, this particular manifestation of humankind is not that important as far as the overall scheme of the universe goes. But it would be nice if we could take it into a different direction than what is currently going. And we've been given every opportunity to do it. So I think Fukushima is a slap in the face that'll hopefully wake the world up if people would simply pay attention to what's going on around them. It always comes back to that. People are kept very distracted. They just don't pay attention.
Yeah, that's true. And which leads me to a question that I'd wanted to ask you earlier when talking about frequencies again. Are you familiar with the studies that have been done where they have taken water and put it into a receptacle? And this is water from all different areas, from polluted lakes and streams to ocean water, tap water, and such. And they have taken a piece of paper and they will write a word. They will take a picture of the molecular structure of the water, the crystalline structure. They will take a picture of it before and then after taking this piece of paper with, say, peace or love or health. They'll take this and tape it to the glass, and then they'll take a picture, and it will actually change. The crystalline structure of the water is actually changed. Have you seen that, those studies and the photographs that have been taken?
Yeah, you're talking about the research of Dr. Emoto. Yeah, fantastic research, absolutely fabulous. And that's the thing. You know, like I said, we could change our harmonic resonance and we could deal with all these problems. If you can see that the world is a reflection of what is in our hearts, and you see the blackness of our society, the damage and the destruction of the corporations that we allow to rape and pillage this planet due to our inaction, due to our turning a blind eye. So like I say, we know all the corruption's there, we know all the books are cooked, we know all this stuff happens, and yet we still go along with it. We just think, oh, that's just the way they are. Oh, the politicians, yeah, they always lie, that's just the way they are. And we still go along with the system. We still get up and go to work, we still pay our taxes, we still do all these things, and we do everything we can to support the system when we know how corrupt it is. And the system makes humanity the most expendable thing within the system, and that's okay with us because we don't see everybody else around us as being as valid as ourselves, because it's all about number one. It's all about you. Sucker's born every minute. No one else is ever going to look out for you except you. You're born alone. You die alone. You've got to look out for number one. This is what we're trained to think. And so we only ever get to the top of our social structure by climbing over other people to do it. We only ever profit from the wants and needs of others. We don't see other people as valid. We only ever see our own perspective as valid, and yet we want everybody else to see our perspective as valid. You know, and nobody else does because they only see their perspective as valid. You know, and that's what our society is. And when you have a society and you have a human consciousness that is based on that understanding of reality, this is what you get. This is the type of planet that you get to live on. And so, you know, you imagine if everybody suddenly looked at the person next to them and saw that spark of intelligence and that spark of sentience in them and saw it as being just as valid as them and went, wow, and loved that person simply because they existed. The same as themselves, because they are a reflection of themselves. You imagine the harmonic resonance we could set up around the planet if everybody just did this, and everybody just felt like this, and everybody changed their perspective of reality to suddenly see everybody else as valid. We'd probably find the planet would start healing itself simply because of the energetic structure we were setting up within this reality. And, you know, to ultimately, that's the best way through all of it. But, as I said, that's a big ask for some people. I don't want to place my faith in that. You know, well, I'm not asking you to place your faith in it. I'm just asking you to give it a shot. I mean, what can it hurt? How can it hurt to love the people around you? How can it hurt to respect the people around you and to receive that mutual respect back from them? What have you got to lose? And that, I believe, is a solution to all of our problems.
I must agree. To think that writing a word and having the intent while writing the word and placing it on a glass of water and seeing the change that that can make, just think what we actively promoting our intent outward towards everything that we want in a positive way. Just think, you know, if a word on a piece of paper on one cup of water can make that much difference, how much difference we could make in total unity, focusing on the future and on the inheritance of this planet in a responsible way to those of our children and our grandchildren. Think what we can leave them if we start now. I mean, we could change the whole structure of the Earth, of the universe, for that matter, with intent. You know, to me, it's been proven over and over and over that we are the creators of our universe. We are the creators of everything that we are. And it is full of intent, and it is full of, you know, some people may call it faith, some people may call it belief. It doesn't matter what you call it. It is the intent with which you focus your energies, you know. We just need to get to that point to where that is the first option, is to focus that intent in a positive way instead of in a negative way, you know.
Yeah, well, intention is everything. It really is. Intention is the power that powers the universe. And you've just got to look at the measurement problem to see that there is no matter. It's all created through perception. It's all created through consciousness. Consciousness creates everything because the universe itself is conscious. You know, we're just a part of that consciousness, and we need to realize what our real relation to things is. But I'm going to have to go in a minute because it's nearly at the top of the hour, and Ravana's asked me to state my website. So my website is thecrowhouse.com. You can find all my stuff there. You can find my book there. You'll find all the radio shows I've done, the 6 films that I've made. It's all there for free. And it's all there to hopefully help shift this consciousness and move the world into a better direction. So just get it out and share the information to people. And if you think there's something that I should put on the website, just send me a contact through the website, and I'll see what I can do about including it.
Thank you much for coming on, Max. It's been fantastic, as usual. Any last words for the people? And then I'll throw it over to Turtle.
No, I just think that it's really important for people to know who and what they are, to know the power that they have to affect positive change. If they could simply change their perspective of reality, change their perspective of the people around them, change their perspective of themselves, all the problems that we face can be fixed by changing what's in your heart, folks, and that's where it all begins. And if we could all do this, we'd create ripples, and the ripples would join, and reality would change by default. You know, we can't fight the system, because the system's a cloud, it's a ghost, it's fiction, it only exists on paper. You know, the system is designed to divide us, and there's the big clue. All we have to do is treat each other with respect and see each other as valid, and suddenly the world changes by default. So that's my message.
And I'd just like to thank you, Max, for joining Ravana on Beyond the Looking Glass tonight. It was a very, very enjoyable interview, and thank you for letting me pick your brain on it's really cool because I usually listen to you on YouTube, and I have, you know, while you're talking, I'm talking back to you, though you never hear me. I'm either agreeing with you or adding something in. But I want to say thank you for the work that you do and for your ability to make things more understandable as far as how the world works for us. And I thank you, and I hope you come back.
Yeah, it'd be my pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
All right, good night, Max. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.